Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Today marks the start of the two-week filing period for candidates running for Salt Lake City Council to officially join the race, and one of the incumbents about to file for re-election is District 6 Councilman J.T. Martin, who represents the city's East Side neighborhoods. He's not known for being shy about sharing his opinions, which has led to criticism that he's too confrontational with his constituents, but he's also a well-known figure in the neighborhood as the longtime owner of Immigration Morgan. What has JT accomplished for his constituents during his one term in office, and what are his plans for a second term? Councilman Martin joins me now in the studio. JT, it's good to have you.
Thanks. Always good to be here with you.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for J.T. Martin. We're at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. And J.T. will definitely give you the chance to respond to some of the criticisms I mentioned later in our interview. But start off by telling me about your history in District 6. How long have you and your family lived there?
I'm third generation, lives in District 6. My grandparents built their home on Military Drive in the early 20s, 1921. That's the home that my grandparents lived in. My father was raised there, lived there for a time, and I actually own the home, ironically, across the street from the home that my grandparents built. So it's been in my blood a long time, and I have a great deal of love for my district.
And you're in the Yale Crest neighborhood?
I am. The great Yale Crest neighborhood.
And remind us, when did you start up with Immigration Market, and how long were you a business owner in District 6?
Immigration Market, I remember going there with my grandmother. It started in 1942. My wife Kimberly and I were the third owners. We had it for 13 years. It was really enjoyable. We thought it would be a way to get me off the road. I was traveling 250 nights a year, and we thought we could make some money. But as it turned out, it was just ended up being a great hobby. We loved it. We really did. Harmon's came to us in 2004 and offered to purchase the building, the business, and we weren't quite ready. And then we kind of came together, and we had other choices. You know, there's a bicycle shop that wanted to move in there, and we were thinking all these others, which have been much better financially for us. But we wanted, we didn't want to be the one. We carried that flag for 13 years, and so we looked at different people. We had someone from Oklahoma. We had other local people. And we chose Harmon's, who was locally owned and had the horsepower. And you can see what they're doing up there. We're excited, and I'm very, very grateful to them. I know the neighborhood is, too, that they are going to maintain the store and the money and the energy they're putting in there. It's going to be a neighborhood market for many years to come.
And, JT, when you look at the various neighborhoods in Salt Lake City, they all have their own unique challenges. The West Side certainly has crime and graffiti. What is the challenge for the East Side? What are the things that get people talking, the problems they want solved?
Well, a lot of times people think that District 6 and the East Bench is fully, you know, it's done, there's no more growth, and it's that's just not true. We're actually going through a huge revitalization of the district. You look at the Foothill Corridor, which is a really big issue for me. You know, we've had the old Sky Scenic Motel has been pulled down, and a new one's coming up, the signs remaining there. We have a Walmart issue at the other end. We have great growth in the university and in Research Park and the other two attractions, the zoo, and this is the place. And there's a lot of properties that are going to be turning over in the years to come along the corridor. So we are not stagnant. We are an area town that is really going to see, has seen, and will continue to see big changes.
Let's go back to 2007 when you first ran for the city council. What motivated you to run back then?
What motivated me was because I was a small business owner, and I was really frustrated with the having to just to go through anything you wanted to do. We were building the patio off, and it was so difficult. There was no ordinances. You go down to City Hall, and it was just so full of encumbrances, and we were able to do that, and that's the thing that really frustrated me. I thought, I'm a strong personality, and when people need water carried, they call me, and I do it for myself. And I said, you know, these great business owners, locally business owners, they don't have the time, the tenacity, basically, to fight your way through City Hall. So that's what got me interested in it, is to, I thought, you know, I'm going to go down there and learn and see what I can do to influence a more business, local business friendly atmosphere at City Hall.
Listeners, you can join us on the air at 801-355-8255. And in fact, we're joined by Dan, who has a question about one of the neighborhood's challenges, and that's Yale Crest and the historic preservation process. Hi, Dan. What's your question for J.T. Martin?
Yeah, hi, J.T. I live in the neighborhood, and I noticed during Yale Crest there was a lot of public involvement, and it got rather contentious, but it seems to me that the decision was really largely by, you know, largely of the people. And how does that fit with your, you know, how does that fit with your vision for the district and your representation?
Thanks, Dan, for the call. As we know, that's going to be most likely a topic in the campaign as the Yale Crest. It was a tough issue. It has been. It has been for years and years and years. The Yale Crest issue is one of the things that City Hall, the council, and the administration has had to deal with. Every time a house was major construction or was pulled down, you could not believe the amount of emails and phone calls and people visiting and coming to City Council. When a house, in fact, a house, the last one that came down, the one on Yale Crest, we had to call the police out, because people were protesting out in front of it, and, you know, someone was going to go up and chain themselves to the front door. It just was absolutely came to a head. And so the city council, we talked about it, and we said, we need to deal with this issue. And so we did, and it was controversial, and there were very, strong folks on both sides of the issue. And so our job was, and no one could ever say, it's kind of interesting, they say, oh, you were a pro-historic or you were a pro-property rights person. And so I had both sides mad at me, which I understand is good because evidently I was doing the right thing. And no one could ever say what my opinion was on it. My whole objective was having a fair public process, that it wasn't controlled by any one sector or a loud voice or people who were, had certain motivations to there. We wanted the people to make a decision that was good for them. Historic district, no historic district, something hybrid in between. But let's get the education out there. Let's talk about it. And it was tough. It was really tough.
And Dan, while you're still on the line, where do you come down on this? Do you want to see it happen or not?
I actually want to see I want to see some sort of a compromise. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some gray area in between, and I think that, I really think that as a community, we're gonna achieve some compromise, and we're gonna reach the best solution as a community. And I've been really impressed in the way that JT has, you know, facilitated the dialogue and the debate. And it's been, let's face it, we're kind of East Side entitled punks, and we're all right, every one of us, even the people that disagree with me, they're right. And it's been really interesting. It's been really great watching him just facilitate this meeting and this debate, and it's been really good. And I'd also like to add that my basement flooded the other day, mm-hmm. and it was pretty bad. And I was cleaning up. I had the insurance. I had the police come and file. There was vandalism. There was some vandalism that led to it. And the police came. I had to get a case number, dealing with insurance adjusters, and then, you know, the cleanup people. And I was just kind of like getting my senses, getting everything, you know, just getting a little bit of quiet that evening. And J.T. Martin and his little boy Samuel showed up at my door just saying, hey, and he said, hey, I heard this happened, and I just wanted to come by and see if there was anything we could do. You know,
now I know who you are.
And it was totally great.
All right, Dan, we appreciate your call. Listeners, you can join us on the air, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. You didn't tell Dan to call in, did you, JT?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, JT, you know, there are so many issues that the city council has dealt with over the past 4 years. What would you consider, you know, just picking out the top couple of them, your accomplishments when it specifically comes to District 6?
Well, specifically to District 6, we have had some really pretty good success in a very downturn economy in building infrastructure and rebuilding streets and roads, new sidewalk rehabilitation, ADA corners done there. And we've been able to, when I first started out, the Foothill Corridor is really a mess. It's the second largest transportation corridor into the city. Mm-hmm. Anywhere between 45 and 60,000 cars a day go along that transit corridor. And there, it's owned by UDOT. They have control of it, which has made it's been very difficult. And there have been several attempts to try to get some focus to it. And when I started working on it, I learned very quickly that it was tough because you are dealing with a state entity, and their job is to get as many cars as possible, as fast as possible, down a corridor. And that's good. That's great. But also, this is where people live. And we put together a group, and like I said, it's taken a long time. But we punched through the ceiling on that one, and and I have to hand it to this community. They really came together, and with a partnership, we now have a planner assigned to it. We have a great deal of money that's going to go towards design, and we're going to see some great things there. Air pollution is a big issue along that corridor. Just sustainability in our community. Is a big deal. I was really, I've done a lot of ordinances, but the ones that were really exciting, they're kind of fun, they're kind of goofy, but people love them, are the chicken and bee ordinance.
Yeah.
And which I was famous for, and did that right at the beginning. And it is amazing to me how many people have just loved having backyard chickens and backyard bee. In fact, we have one now because of that effort on top of the library square.
Right.
So it's been good.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Councilman J.T. Martin. Well, J.T., you were talking earlier about how you are an outspoken guy, and that has led to, we had one of your opponents on a couple weeks ago, Charlie Luke, saying that he thinks you go too far in, quote, berating your constituents, and that you're too confrontational, and it makes people not want to be involved in the public process. How do you respond to that?
Obviously he's going to have his points, and I disagree with him. And I tell you, I'm in the district all day, every day, and people disagree with him. They say, oh, yeah, I mean, I have a reputation that if water needs to be carried, you ask JT to do it, because I am not a politician. I'm a horrible politician. I do not sit there and smile and do all the right things and say the right things and all that. No, I mean, an issue, I go out and I take care of it. When I hear about a problem, whether it's parking enforcement, whatever, I'm there and I go across the city hall or I go over to the parking enforcement, and much to the chagrin of the administration, but we have a great working relationship, we work it out. You know, you look at the fact that ever since, for 4 years, when I was first elected, I became vice chair of the council, which is unprecedented. I became vice chair of the RDA. Then I became vice chair of the council. I became chair of the council.
Right.
Now, I'm not put in those positions because I'm pretty. I'm put in those positions because there, particularly last year, there were some really rough issues. Coming up right now, I've been serving for the last 2 years as vice chair on the Quality Growth Commission. I was put in by Governor Huntsman to serve on this wonderful Quality Growth Commission, which oversees the McAllister funds. Mm-hmm. And I was just put in 2 weeks ago as its chair. Now, why? Because the legislature did not fund the program last year because we did have money. And they said, we need a tough guy that reaches across the aisle. I've been on the legislative subcommittee with the city. Every year I'm working with legislators. I've become good friends with them. And so, you know, I have a big mandate this year is to get that funded. And it's looking it's looking really well. I was also just put on by Governor Bell, Lieutenant Governor Bell, as a member of this Agricultural Sustainability Task Force. Now, would you look at all the boards and commissions and the ones that I go and I advance in? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, that doesn't happen because I'm a jerk. That happens because I'm impassioned and I'm a strong guy. And sure, I've stepped on toes, but people who have toes that need stepped on don't like that. And many times I'm finding out that they've never had someone say, hey, you're a vocal, very vocal minority, and, you know, I'm looking after the greater mass of people. It's like the Yellcrest. You know, the people on either side of the issue who are really historical, really property rights, and the people in the middle, like myself, and I think Dan that was there, kind of got left out. And so, you know, I fought that, making sure that we had fair public process. That's a big deal for me, whether it's the liquor issues, you know, neighborhood bars or whatever, is that both sides need to be heard. And I will get in there. If someone comes and says and doesn't allow someone to speak, or they speak over them, or they're inappropriate with an employee, you better believe I will be there and I will say things. And people say, yeah, you know, sometimes, but, you know, you're not nice. But we'd rather have nice or not nice and effective. Mm-hmm. And so, that, like I said, I think that my my dossier and the background and everything that I'm on and what I've accomplished speaks for itself, that a strong voice, fair, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm the guy that they ask to do things.
Let's get to one of those issues you were referring to that did get very contentious, and that was Parley's historic nature park probably filled up, you know, the city council chambers, you know, more so than most other issues. I believe you were backing the Becker administration's plan, which did, you know, not get rid of, as some people have claimed, but reduce off-leash dog usage in the park. There are reasons for doing that, the riparian corridors in the park and being able to restore those. Do you think in the end it turned out to be the best solution for everybody who uses the park?
Well, you know, it depends who you talk to. The Becker administration, I backed the last one, but no, I was not a proponent to it fully, because I felt that there was not enough space for free range dogs to run around it, because it was very narrow, and I really fought for that whole bottom flat area is opened up, that we protect the riparian area, we protect the south side of it, and it was tough. I remember there was we had our meetings, and the Fido people were always there. They had a very effective lobbyist that worked for them, and they would pack the meetings. And I remember one time I got sideways with their lobbyist, because it was during budget season, and our employees were there trying to look for their, you know, look out for their jobs and not be furloughed. But more importantly, we had all of our people there for the CBDG funding, you know, all the nonprofits. And this lobbyist called out and had the whole place packed with dog, you know, on that issue. And we had our employees couldn't get up and speak to us. That was their time. And I kept saying, we will have our Parley's time. I'm chair. Everyone's going to have their time, I promise you. But today is for our nonprofits. Today is for our employees. And, you know, what are you doing? And they didn't like the fact that I, you know, called them out on that. But that's what I do. And they did get their day in court. And in fact, we spent, as you know, a great deal of time devoted to getting that park straightened out. We had a lot of users. We had three. We had the people who felt it was a historic park, a nature park, family who donated that area and wanted, and they said that their parents, that's what they wanted for. We have the bicyclists. We have hikers. And we had the people with the dogs. So we had to bring together a lot of people to find a compromise. And I think it worked out. You know, we're going to have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. We're still just doing it. But I think it's going to work out. But the bottom line on that one is there is not enough space for free-range dogs. And I think the county has really let us down on that. And those people that would come there, they more than half or 70% in some cases were not even city residents. They come from all over the valley to use that facility. And I said, you know, West Valley City, the unincorporated county, Murray, all of them need to provide for dog parks in their own areas. We can't provide that much pressure on one facility, on one park. So, yeah, there were some people that, you know, the historical people weren't fully happy, the dog people weren't fully happy, but I think we found it.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Councilman J.T. Martin. You can join us at 801-355-8255. And J.T., last month we just marked the one-year anniversary of the Red Butte oil spill, which probably affected your district more than any other in the city. The Liberty Park Pond has been cleaned up, but some Yalecrest residents are saying, you know, they're still living with the disastrous effects of this spill, and they feel as though the cleanup in their backyards has not been finished, and the city is not interested in finishing the job. Do you think there's anything the city could have done or could do better down the road with this situation?
Well, that statement's not fully correct. The Red Butte Creek runs through my backyard or through the Miller Park, which is my yep. part of my backyard. It was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had our doors open and windows, and I woke up with this amazing. And I thought my neighbor next door. I thought, what's he out there? I thought he was shellacking or painting or stripping paint or something. And it was, I mean, I kept, it was, my eyes were almost watering. And then the phone rang, and they said, Councilman Martin? I said, yes. And I said, does this have something to do with gasoline? And they said, no, we've had an oil spill. And so I got up, I threw on some clothes, and I went up and down my corridor. You know, Peter Hayes, the guy with the mustache,
yeah.
I knocked on his door and said, there's oil coming. And he's, to this day, he always says, thank you for doing that. I went up and down that corridor, let everyone know that, you know, we had a problem. Keep your dogs out of there. When we had the emergency response, I asked Chevron, we need information on if a dog gets in here, how do we clean it? Because we had them coming in or waterfowl. You know, I have to say that Chevron was really there. I mean, they responded and they never shirked their responsibility on that. Now the question is, have they done enough? When's clean is clean. I find out that anytime I kind of start talking about it, I step in it because we don't, you know, there's the jury's still out. We have experts looking at Department of Water Quality. We have our neighborhood, you know, Peter Hayes is a great guy. He's a biologist, teaches it. And so we're waiting to hear what's going to go on. No, I think we're something we're going to be dealing with for a long time to come, but we got to really worked so that it never happens again. And, you know, as you know, several months later, the same thing happened again. It was just, we were just lucky that it was a cold day. But, you know, right now I'm fighting with the county and on the fact that we want to put signs up in the park, Miller Park and in Sunnyside Park, just saying basically, I mean, it's not this wording, but basically saying, FYI, we don't know, but you should know that there was an oil spill here. If you're pregnant, kids, your dog, you just, you know, make it your choice. But it's amazing the amount of red tape we're going through for something so simple as that. It seems fairly benign, but I think that we've won the day and we're going to have those signs put up. Just, you know, an FYI.
We have Ed on the line. Ed, what's your question or comment for Salt Lake City Councilman J.T. Martin?
My question is, well, it's actually kind of a concern / question.
Okay.
JT has on his Facebook, he's not involved with special interests, and he's a businessman and things. But I think it's interesting, from my understanding, he rents space from the owner of Plum Real Estate, who is in business with Mr. Gardner, JT's father-in-law, who happens to be one of the largest developers in Salt Lake. And so do you think, JT, that that's a conflict of interest because you're on the city council, you represent the council, you have been involved with planning, and you've talked about the Foothill Corridor? Don't you think that's a little one-sided?
Okay. No. I have any time that – and it's kind of interesting. Any time – our city is – and our city attorney is – let me tell you, these guys are buttoned down. And any time that there is any kind of a conflict of interest or perceived conflict of interest, they I get up – and you know, we all of the council members have conflicts of interest from time to time. And I'm absolutely out of the room on things that I don't even have any involvement in. And I have no – really day-to-day involvement with my – it's my father-in-law's company, and I and I'll get to what I do there, but I don't even rent space there. That's not even true. So, you know, you look back at the Rocky Mountain Power situation on 8 South, and if you remember that they came in, and I really got after their spoken. I said, you don't care about these people. Really talk about what this power is for. Don't say it's for TVs. We know it's for Research Park. We know it's for the VA. We know it's for the University of Ottawa, which is great. That's fine. I'm not saying not to, but let's say what it is. But you go through these neighborhoods, and you absolutely decimate them. Now, I want you to understand that Rocky Mountain Power happens to be one of the largest tenants of my father-in-law's. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was very uncomfortable in the family for a long time because I had, you know, I had gone after one of their tenants. And I said, you know how I am. I'm not going to compromise these issues. And it's interesting that I was taken out to lunch the other day with representatives from Rocky Mountain Power saying, you know, you really beat the crap out of us. I shouldn't say that. And it was very embarrassing. And they handed me this document and they said, we want you to know that you were a great part of this new document and how we now deal with cities, how we deal with communities. We make, you know, these lines have to go in. We make it their decision on where they go, how they go, where they put substations. And that was, I think, a really great compliment to the process. Now, I don't know what you say. I about Walt Plum and all of that. I could you be more specific?
Ed, you still there?
Isn't it? Who do you rent from then? If you don't rent from Walt Plum, your office space.
I don't rent from anyone down there. My wife says, as you know, I sold the store. And she says, husbands are not supposed to be at home, and you are downstairs in your office, has no windows, and you need to get out and be around people. So, there's not even an office there. There's a conference room. There's two conference rooms, a small conference room with a couch and a table. And I go down there, and I work on my campaign, and I'm working on some consulting work for some water purification systems that is actually part. My father-in-law owns Walt Plum, and they have that. They have a partnership, but I'm not even. You know, I'm several steps away from that. And I, there's no rent. I've never paid rent, and I get kicked out of that office all the time. I just don't understand what you're digging at. Help me.
Well, we should move on here. Ed, we appreciate your call. JT, I want to give you some time to talk about what you would want to do in a second term in the few minutes we have left. What has left to be accomplished, do you think?
Okay, you know, there's so many things I want to see finished up that we started. The Leonardo, that was one of the issues that I first came in. As you know, I was pretty outspoken because their finances were a mess. They were making allegations and saying things that they were going to make up their budget. And I said, that's just not the case. I know they were saying they were going to get $20 million for naming rights. And I said, how can you – that's not possible. And because of that, as you know, there was a huge reorganization. And they – you know, we have this facility over there now, and you know Peter Giles, who's head of it, great working relationship. I get thanked by him. Thanks for getting us. I'm not taking all the credit, but on that I am. Is just saying it was a very couple of uncomfortable council meetings. Mm-hmm. Just saying that you know what you're saying doesn't add up. So I want to see that through. The North Temple Viaduct was a lot of work working with the legislature to get the $20 million out of the state for that. And as you know, they're not particularly friendly to Salt Lake all the time. Great, you know, working in a relationship there. The North Temple Track Line getting that out to the airport, the sugar house, working on where it, from sugar house where it goes, and it's going to go right through my district. The Foothill Corridor is so huge, and we really have some great push behind it now. The East Bench Master Plan is finally done. We have several more streets that we need to work on to replace, because, you know, much of my area is 100 years old, mm-hmm. and there's only so much CIP. And that's one thing I really stomp up and down about during council meetings is that, you know, we are not putting enough money into our capital improvement. We're great at building, and we love that, but we also got to remember we've got to take care of what we have.
And finally, JT, we have just about a minute left. What do you think this campaign is going to be like? Is it going to be a tough one?
Well, it's kind of interesting that it's already gone negative. My opponents are making negative. I'm not going to. It just isn't worth it. The guy I'm running against was the campaign manager for the guy for the previous election I was in, and some things happened there that weren't nice, and I just, there's some things happening again that is just kind of bringing back that. I have a great record. We have a great district. We're going to keep it positive. You know, Fix Six, that's just, you know, people keep saying, what's broken? We've got this great Wasatch Hollow that you worked with the church and got that through. And let me tell you, we almost lost that. And Miller Park and all these areas in this, we have a great district, and we are, and you know, the new district of 21 and 21 business district, been very involved in getting that going. And that's, in fact, I was over there yesterday working with those folks. And I go to their meetings. So there's nothing broken in Six. In fact, we are the envy of all other districts. I get teased about the fact that we have things pretty good.
We've been speaking with Salt Lake City Councilman J.T. Martin. He is running for a re-election. His opponents include Charlie Luke and Tracy Hardy. And we look forward to having debates between you all in the weeks to come. J.T., and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I can't tell you how forward I'm looking to those debates.
All right. Terrific. J.T., thanks for your time.